Hello, FYC fans, and welcome back to another episode of the FY Cast. And today is a very special episode because we have a special guest in the building. But before I get to that, I want to welcome back Dakota, who's also the host of All Around the FYC. If you guys didn't get a chance to actually listen to his podcast, I definitely recommend you go and check it out. Thank you, Dakota, for being here today. And
you're welcome.
Another thing is we have a special week is because it's Disability History and Awareness Week. What we wanted to do is we want to talk about what made an impact in the disability community, and what better way to do it than to have one of the founding fathers himself of the Florida Youth Council. His name is Alex Brown. You guys remember we did discuss about him in one of the episodes of the FY Cast. Alex, you have the floor. Introduce yourself to the people.
Hey, everyone. Let me just start off again. My name's Alex Brown, and I just want to thank Dakota and Alex for just inviting me on today. As they said, I was one of the founding members of the Florida Youth Council. I was on it for 10 years, and I really just have a lot of good memories, and I look forward just to sharing some of those and just talking about disability history and awareness and just how important that was and the effort that we went through to get that passed.
Awesome. So we have a few questions for you. I'm going to start off with Dakota. He's going to ask a question to you, especially how this whole process came to be with the bill, because the bill is going to be a hitting topic on this episode, because this is something that's very special, at least for the disability community. So Dakota, you have the floor here.
All right. Alex, what was your favorite memories and moments throughout your time on the FYC, and how long have you been on the FYC?
All right, Dakota, thank you. That question is actually a bit of a tough one, because I have a lot of just really wonderful memories from my time on the council. Obviously, I remember finally passing the Disability History and Awareness Bill, just because of how important it was. I have a lot of great memories of the first annual Youth Summit and really seeing those first participants going through an event that was specifically designed for them. With that said, my favorite memory that I recall very, very strongly comes from the fifth annual Youth Summit in 2012. For that summit, we had the Tampa Generals wheelchair rugby team come and do a demonstration. During the demonstration, myself and a few other FYC members were allowed to join some of the Tampa Bay Generals and playing wheelchair rugby. While doing that, I remember that. Yeah, that was such a great event. I remember that what sticks out to my head from that was when I was playing and we were Chris Regan, who was another member of the FYC, had the ball and I rammed him, and it was it's a funny, the look seeing on Chris's face, he's just so shocked by how much force was able to hit him with, and he's kind of just handing me the ball. That was just a really neat experience for me, and as you talk about, you guys remember, it was good for the audience, and just really showing, again.
I laughed at his face, because he was like, don't kill me.
Absolutely. It's one of those things, again, I think there's a lot of empowerment showing, again, not from me, but from the Tampa Bay Generals, and just showing how coordinated they were and how much they could still be active, even though, again, they had a disability, which it was just, again, it was just a neat, really neat experience. And I was just glad we were able to bring that particular demonstration to the annual Youth Summit that year.
Cool. Alex?
Sounds like a lot of fun there.
Yeah, it was, again, that was great. And again, I think that was good. And it was a good thing to see you guys talking about, you still remember it. So that's, again, I'm glad that I wasn't the only one.
Alex, personally, I do remember that one year you told me to apply to the FYC. Or maybe it was in 13, but one of those years, close enough. But I think I finally did in 14 and I got accepted in 15, but it was still a wonderful, I thank you for the invitation to join. I honestly would not be here if it wasn't for you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I know, I remember talking with you about that. And again, we saw, as at every annual Youth Summit, we're always looking to see if there's new members, new potential members that are going to step up and really take a leadership role, even in that event, just for those couple of weekends. I know it's through that many of the, again, at least half the council members I can think of that came on after we started, that were, they got their start and invitation through the annual youth summit.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next question. My question to you, Alex, is do you think when it came to the Senate bill, what was the significant achievement? Do you think the Senate bill was a significant achievement for the disability community? If so, how much of an impact did it come over time?
Absolutely. I think that it was a significant achievement for youth with disabilities, but the disability community as a whole. It was a triumph, but the thing about it was the real work came afterwards. We worked with the Florida Department of Education. They helped to support disability history and awareness by producing the Disability History and Awareness, a resource guide. This guide was and is still used across the state of Florida to help promote disability history and awareness in the K-12 school systems. The FYC also worked and continues to work to promote the learning of disability history and awareness to try and create a better future for the next generation of youth with disabilities. Again, the bill was significant because it exposed students to the history of persons with disabilities. The key part of this is understanding this process is never ending. Yeah. The impact the bill has made can't be specifically measured. But it's seen by students being more accepting of their fellow classmates with disabilities and in the way the students with disabilities are empowered to be themselves, even, again, among their peers.
Absolutely. I think it's very important to make sure that everybody gets a chance to learn about at least the disability history and awareness, because this is something that's kind of get overlooked over time. And this is part of American history that's very important to acknowledge, that this is something that a lot of Americans have fought for. And with the Senate bill being that part of a significant impact, at least for the people in the state of Florida, it also shows that we need to spread more awareness to the communities, not just in our communities, but also across the state, to help people to get informed about this type of history that's very important to acknowledge and make sure that, you know, we keep passing on through generations and generations of people with disabilities, you know, going forward and beyond.
I think that the key thing too is to remember that as we are educating people within Florida, students leave Florida. Like I myself, I'm in Alabama right now. Like there is, I know that other members from the council have gone on and are outside of Florida. I know Carly Faye's in D.C. I know that Whitney spent time out in Oklahoma. There's members across the country. And that's what's key, is that as we educate people who are from Florida, they move out of the state and they take their knowledge with them. And also, we're not the only state that has similar legislation, which establishes Disability History and Awareness Weeks in other K-12 school systems throughout the country. Again, this isn't just a thing that was just done in here in Florida. The impact is felt within our communities in Florida the most, but the impact keeps going outside of Florida.
Absolutely.
Alex,
go ahead.
Mind me asking this before I ask the next question, and before you finish that, because this is like something that I wanted to ask him real fast. Now, when you said members have taken their knowledge with them, did you envision all the members to do the same thing? Like even the future ones?
Well, I mean, yeah. So whatever the council members, or whether, again, you're just a student in a random school in some county in Florida, what is being provided through Disability History Awareness is that knowledge. And that's something that they will have with them. And again, if they stay in Florida, that's great. They have that knowledge as they go to their workplaces, they go to and be getting to rise into positions, leadership roles within different jobs. But if they happen to take it outside the state, that's great. You know, if they're in Georgia, if they're in California, if they're in out in Washington or Montana or wherever, that information goes with them. And it's something that they can have to share, and it's something they can hopefully continue to spread, just how important it is again, being just aware of people with disabilities, and again, the impact that they have had in our history.
Right. So I think that's from one thing that we want to leave, you know, us after, if we were done with the FYC, we want to make sure that we keep spreading that positivity and that knowledge down to people, not just here in the state, but also at least around the country and maybe, you know, across worldwide. So that way people are very informed that this is something that, you know, the individual, no matter if the person has a disability or not, they have civil rights no matter what, and they can fight for their rights no matter what the circumstances or what obstacles that they had to come across to.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
All right. So Dakota, what's your next question for Alex?
My next question is going to rally off your question, Alex. What was going through your head when the governor signed the bill in real time?
In real time, I was excited the bill had been passed. There was a lot of work for myself and the other council members and even the staff members of the Family Cafe. There was a lot of work that we did in order to get to that moment. But for me, there's also a feeling of determination. I've already said this, but just because the bill was passed didn't mean that the work was done. And in reality, that was just the beginning of the work. It was a moment of triumph, but again, it was also the beginning of something much larger than that ceremony itself.
So what would you expect the youth council of today to do if we chose to rally off y'all's stepping stone?
Well, I think the key with that is understanding that, again, with the bill passed, I know that there's still a lot of work to be done. Again, I know that I remember working with other members of the council the next year and the year after that to really go and try and strengthen the language within the bill to make it a mandatory thing. And each time we went up to the Senate, each time we went up and were at the Capitol, you know, we were told that wasn't going to happen. And that's not, you know, that wasn't the way to proceed. And that's, again, that's a fair point. And then again, in talking with the senators and talking with the representatives, you know, making it mandatory changes, it really removes a lot of the flexibility the schools have. And so as I look and I talk to you guys, talk to the council members, again, I think the big part of where do you go from here is it comes down to the individual community level of making sure that you're offering help and provide assistance and provide material to the teachers in your community, making sure that you're saying, hey, I'm willing to go back to, you know, if you're in high school, I'm willing to get up and talk to the class about disability history and awareness. If you are out, if you're out of high school, saying I'm willing to go back to my school and give presentations during this period, just to ensure that those other youth are receiving that. Again, it's still continuing to do stuff like working with the Department of Education to continue to update the document I talked about earlier, Disability History and Awareness, the resource guide. It's about making sure that this bill doesn't just fade away.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Alex, is since you probably already answered this question, what was the atmosphere like when the Senate bill was signed by the governor?
So the overall move.
What I'm trying to mean is that I know you can't really speak everybody's mind, but the emotion that was going on in that room once the governor eventually signed the bill, and how did it play an effect in your life when it happened?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. The overall mood in the room when the bill was signed was one of excitement. The people who were there were happy that the FYC members and the members of Congress had worked so hard on behalf of persons with disabilities. I know from talking to other members at that exact moment, the perspective, there's really a focus on just being joyful, and just there was a feeling of elation that, again, that we had done this step. Again, I know that, as I already said, there's such an excitement there. But again, there's still that determination, knowing that the process didn't end with the passing of the bill, with it being signed. There's still a lot of work to be done.
Dakota?
I was kind of wondering in my mind, was there like any negative tension that was around there when that happened?
And from my perspective, there wasn't any negative tension in the room. And again, I think there's a lot that we have to remember within this, is that where this bill was signed at, it was signed leading up to the annual Family Cafe. So the people in the room were going to be attending the annual Family Cafe, which means they were all either persons with disabilities or their family members. Outside of course, you had the congressmen and the representatives that were there and the governor, but everybody else were all part of the disability community. And so they all understood the significance of what was being done.
Right.
So,
and I know, like you said, we can't force schools to do it, but like, what if you like reworded it a bit to where it said they, because I know basically they've got schools to teach on the civil rights movement, and honestly, I don't see what's any different between the civil rights movement and the disability awareness.
Well, so there's two different things. Like I want to talk a little bit about how we did go back and try and see about revising the language. And what we were trying to do was, within the bill, it says that designates the first 2 weeks in October as Disability History and Awareness Weeks. And it says basically that schools may present information regarding disability history and awareness during those two periods. They may provide information on awareness for disability history and awareness. What we were going back and trying to change, get that may to be changed to a shall. And that was, again, there was a lot of resistance within that. And I think that you are right about the idea that in reality, disability history and awareness does fall in some ways underneath of the civil rights. But they're distinctive things. There is, again, when you talk to someone, what is the civil rights movement? Again, there's certain connotations that are brought up about that, and it has a lot to do with race. It has a lot to do with how we treat people of different races. But while it is, again, and it's, that's the focus, and you have that's where February comes in. February is African American History Month, and that is something that is done and based in all school systems essentially across the country here. We may get to that point where disability history awareness is taught in October ever across the country here. But there is something that you look at if you go back and you look at the history for why February is designated as African American History Month, it isn't something that was done and then the next year is done. It's done across the country. It's something that had to grow to get to that point where it's established and done. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do now, is even if the language isn't as strong to say that it has to be done in the school systems here in Florida, we want to make sure that as many supporters of the bill are working with their local school systems and providing them information, so that way the process is easy for it to be presented to students. We don't want there to be a barrier. Well, there's no information out there. Well, no one has provided that. We want to be providing that information to the school system, so that way that we can get rid of as many barriers or excuses as we can.
Right, because when you look at it from adding to what you said, it took time. It didn't just took, it didn't took just one day and then it just happened. It took a process over time to actually get to where it's at. I mean, even if you look at, you know, for Black History Month or Hispanic History Month, it's the same thing where it actually took the process to actually get how Congress and the Senate to be able to pass certain things to able to acknowledge the history that's been going on throughout time here in America. So it didn't took overnight to actually just say, okay, bam, let's just have, you know, Hispanic History Month. Bam, let's have a Disability Awareness Week. It took process. It has to take some time. It didn't just want to, with all the headaches and the resources that you guys provided, it will actually lead up to, you know, to the fact that we're going to have, you know, Disability Awareness Month, or like going to Autism Awareness Month, how that took time. So that way people mm-hmm. can educate themselves and educate other people to learn about, you know, the things that are going on, especially people in the autism community.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know the history of how we got to the point of having, again, African-American History Month in February. I don't know I haven't studied what led up to that. Again, obviously I know I know African-American history, but I have not gone through and studied what led up to that. Like, you know, was it something that it was established and then was it only May at first, and then they had to go back, you know, several years later and strengthen that legislation? I don't know. But I do know that...
I think it was the March to D.C.
Okay. What you're talking... Even this whole entire podcast is about the history within that of how we got to that.
I was just answering a question.
Right.
And when you say, when it came to, like, the legislation and all that, it takes time because, you know, people have to agree on the bill, then it has to get passed to the Senate, then it has to get passed to the Supreme Court, you know. But going back to with disability history and awareness, since we actually, the FYC this year, this past cafe, we actually did a presentation on disability history and awareness. But even though, unfortunately, we didn't have that many people come in to learn about it, but we did have somebody, a professor from a university, actually taking notes and took pictures of our presentation because she wanted to pass those down to her students so that way she can learn she could teach and help people to learn about this part of American history. Because if you look at disability history, it is American history. It's just one that has kind of been overlooked. And it's also part of civil rights because, you know, a lot of people, especially Judy Heumann, Justin Dart, and all those disability advocates have their rights have been violated because they had a disability. So only thing they had to do is they had to make a change and to protest and to make sure that those changes come into effect. So that way the country can have more, more respect and to give credit to where it's due to the people, to the Americans who are helping communities and also helping out other people who went through the struggle and the torture of
accessible stuff.
Well, not just accessible, but have lawmakers kind of deny them from what they could accomplish or what they could achieve. And then once the ADA was passed, it was the game changer for all. It was kind of like a big victory for everybody in the disability community.
Again, what you're ultimately talking about is making the playing field as equal as possible. We're not trying to, again, so you look at what the ADA does, and it basically eliminates barriers that would have prevented people from even being able to go to work at places because it changed accessibility laws for getting in the building. That's ultimately what we're talking about within all of the disability history and awareness. It's about showing people, again, what it was like and where we've come, and making it so that people understand that it, like you said earlier, it wasn't something that happened overnight. There's a lot of work that went into stuff like passing of the ADA. And again, a lot of stuff that changed from making disability an acceptable thing.
Absolutely.
And that will go to my next question. How many FYC members were present when the bill was passed? Can you explain a bit who were the members that were there?
Absolutely. So there were 10 members present when the bill was signed on June 13th, 2008. Each member present played a unique, important role in ensuring the bill was passed. I've stayed in contact with most of the members of the FYC who were present at the bill signing. Working on the bill really helped, really brought us all together as a council and forged lasting friendships. I still talk with or am in fairly regular contact with almost all those members, even to this day. Again, 11 years later.
The future ones that you didn't know were going to be on here.
I'm sorry?
And some of the future ones that you didn't know were going to be on here, such as me and Alex.
Absolutely. Again, it was passed in 2008. You're talking, that's 11 years ago. And that's, again, it's crazy for me to think about that when it was passed, I was 21 years old and I was almost 21. I would have been 21 in 4 days. It's as we talked about this, you told me to go back and start looking at it. It's amazing to think that over a decade has passed again. And you go back to the members that were present, you know, again, the members that were there are all over the place. We're all over Florida. We're all, you know, again, other parts of the country. And I know that all of us there all have, again, lasting memories of seeing that bill signed and seeing, again, the impact that it would have.
Now, I'm not saying that this is completely impossible, possible, it's just a theory. But what if we were able to get passed due to the fact the one that you want, you, the original council wanted to get, it must, or said they shall, but y'all had like the council now and the council then collaborate together into one big group and say, okay, this has to get done.
Well, I think, again, there's a couple of different things that goes within that. I support this bill and I would support, again, the changing to make the language stronger. I do know that, again, that would be something that you'd have to really take up and really see, you know, if where everybody stands with on it. I think that I know the process that we went through to get it passed initially, and I know that it was a long process and difficult process. I encourage you guys, and I'd be willing to work with whoever I could to help see what I could do to help to get that passed. I know that I'm pretty sure, I can't speak for other past members, but I know that other members would, I can't speak for them, but I can almost guarantee they would be willing to help in whatever capacity they could. That's something that if the current FYC council thinks that would be something they'd want to do, it's worth pursuing and just seeing if there's any additional and what support would be out there to see that happen.
Because I know that I've been talking to Josh and Derek before at Cafe about strongly going after a part two to the bill.
My thing with this is you really want to, when you talk about a part two to it, is you really want to make sure and nail down what you want to see that accomplish. I think that is that has got to be key when you go and you're talking to senators and representatives of what do you want to see this do? What is this bill currently doing what is missing from the current bill? And again, and if it's just as simple as, again, changing as we did, of changing the language from may to shall, again, I think there is that that you would have a lot of fight within that to see that accomplish. Yeah, an uphill battle. But again, if there is other things you want to see done, or other changes, so not to the language, but additional effort you want to see put within that, I think you may have. Again, that's something you're really going to have that conversation, so you know what battle you're fighting, if that makes sense.
Right.
Well, one thing one of the last questions I want to ask you, Alex, is what was the process leading up to the bill being signed, and how long did it take leading up to it? So let's go back and before the bill was signed, how many resources, people, contacts that you had to take, or how about this? How many people you had to communicate in order to try to get this thing done? In order to, you wanted to make a change for the bill being signed and to make that impact, for the FYC, for the disability community. Like, if you go back and think, what did I have to do from the steps to move forward to get this bill signed?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the process of getting the bill passed was a several year process. I will say that from my perspective, the process was fascinating. Again, that was just me. I know if you were to talk to other council members or even somebody like Lori, Lori Fahey, that the process was more frustrating than fascinating. I remember several times going up with other council members like Carly Fahey, going to the Capitol and really talking with representatives and senators like Representative Richardson and Senator Fasano, and really, really pleading the case of that it wasn't just about us. It was about all persons with disabilities. It was about, again, their particular constituents in their districts. With that said, there's a lot of moments and there's a lot of work, and there's a lot of moments where I thought it wasn't going to happen. And again, we saw that happen. When we went up there, we spent an entire legislative session up there talking and doing all we could just to see it get dropped and have to wait a whole another year coming back again to, I say a whole another year, having to wait basically just a couple of months to get back at it again when sessions started up again. Even in the years that passed, again, I talked about this earlier, I remember going back up to there and just working, continuing to try and strengthen the legislation, the words in the bill. And this is, again, you talk about the resources and stuff that we use. The big part is that the passing the bill used a lot of our efforts, but it was a very focused effort. We were talking to specifically senators and representatives. Again, afterwards, that's where the real work came in, and we started having to reach out to partners statewide, partners like the Department of Education, like Vocational Rehabilitation, just to, again, to try and get the word out that the bill had been passed, and here's the resources that can be used to make this an effective thing. Because there's so many laws and so many bills that are passed that don't do anything. They're just on the books as this is a law, or this is again a suggestion that's done, and it just sits out there and nothing's ever done for it. That's not what we wanted to see happen with this bill. It was,
honestly, that's what irritates me about this one.
Okay, what specifically?
Because, I mean, like, I just feel like they just have eventually just, like, tossed it aside and, like, just made it to be one of those that just sits there.
Well, again, this is what I was talking about earlier, and this is something that, again, if you're talking about what the council can do to make it stronger, it goes down to working within your communities. Again, if you're in high school, saying, hey, teacher, I'm willing to do a presentation on one of the days in one of those two-week periods, or sometime in that two-week period, during the first 2 weeks of October, I'm willing to step up and do a presentation in the class. Even if it's a half an hour presentation, that's a half an hour more than what would have been given if you didn't step up and do that. Or it's talking about that if you're not in high school, so going back to your high school and saying, I'm willing to come in and give a presentation. Again, I know that, that's the hard part, really. Again, we talked about earlier that we all take it with us. We all have what we've learned from being on the council, and again, from going through the process of learning disability history. We all have that information. It's about sharing it. And again, those 2 weeks are designated as this is the time you could be sharing it. But ultimately, we have the ability to share it all the time.
Absolutely, because if, for example, if you're not doing your part into talking with people, like even we could be talking with your friends or with family members or anything like that, and just stay silent, how is that information is going to get passed through it, and how people are going to know about it? Because if people don't know about it, it's because a lot of that information has never been passed down to other people or through the word of mouth. You know, one thing doing for your community, it's just the first step of trying to make changes, positive changes for individuals, that when it comes to a point where you wanted to make a difference in your community and try to lead the way to the best of your abilities to try to inform the public that these are certain issues that we have to address. If we cannot keep, you know, spreading the word of mouth and to address the issues, nothing will never get done. And for Alex and for what he did throughout his time when he was on the council, he wanted to take the initiative of try to say, okay, we got a plan, but we have to make sure that we do it step by step. It takes baby steps to able to get that plan to come into fruition.
Absolutely. Again, I thank you for your kind words on that. I think we talk about the process and the steps to go through. Again, everyone's going to look at the passing of the bill and they're going to say that was the big step. But that was really a culmination of a lot of work and a lot of different.
Yeah, it took baby steps to get where I'm to get to that part. Like,
right.
Basically, you have to establish the plan, but for some people, they just want to score. You didn't just go in and just say, okay, bam, we're going to go through those doors and then we want this bill signed. No, it took amount of time and effort and probably a lot of headaches for you to try to get this thing to be where you want it to be. And hopefully for the disability community, at least this is something that it will make a positive impact for years to come. Even after, you know, when we get older, we'll look back into it. It's like this was an intriguing part of what can we accomplish us as individuals with disabilities.
Absolutely. And I want to go back to you, Dakota, real quick. And I want to make sure that I'm not, I think that you are right, that this, that fervor and excitement for this bill has waned from those that from 2008, 2009, 2010. And that's going to happen. Again, with any type of bill, with any type of legislation, there's initial fervor and yes, this is great. We've done a whole lot. But then people move on to different subjects, move on to different things. But those people that are actively affected by it, myself, other members of the council, again, new members of the council, they still have a responsibility to make sure that the bill isn't forgotten and that the bill is still, again, that this information is still taught to students within the K-12 school system. It takes reminding people at the Department of Education, hey, this is still something that's out there. This is still something that we care about. Because if the people who were responsible for it and the organization, the FYC, the Family Cafe, if they stop talking about it, nobody else is going to. That's just the nature of how legislative sessions work and how that cycle works.
And I also think that's why Alexander decided to talk about it this year, because so many years prior to that, I think we have lost that taste of joy and excitement about that, because we haven't really been talking about it in our sessions. So people are being like, oh, so they forgot about it too. Okay.
Absolutely. Again, and that's a natural thing. And when you talk about, again, excitement will come and go. And again, and that's why you talked about earlier, asking what was the feeling. There was a feeling of excitement in the room, but I know that for myself and other council members, there's also a feeling of determination to say, this isn't going to end with this. We have bigger goals in mind. Like what this legislation is doing isn't something that the bill itself isn't going to be the end.
No, and also I was thinking if this is, because I'm not sure if I read the bill right the first time, but I'm not sure y'all put nationwide in there. I think y'all just put Florida.
We did. And the reason we didn't put nationwide is because this bill is within the Florida. It was in the Florida Senate and the Florida and again, the Florida House. So we couldn't put a nation in there because it didn't go to D.C. It didn't go to the National Congress. It was just in the state of Florida.
But like you said, now we have a former FYC member in D.C.
Right. So there's a lot that goes into this. Again, there are several different states, and I don't know all of them. I know some of them that, you know, North Carolina, to be specific, that were passing similar legislation at the same time we were. Again, if you're talking about a national effort, it would really require looking at and seeing how many other states have similar legislation and banding together with those people, again, those states and the people that were responsible for passing the legislation and working then to say, hey, you guys reach out to your national congressman or your national representative, and we'll reach out to ours and we'll say, we want to see something like this done on a national level. I don't know enough about national politics to know exactly how, you know, all the steps that you would have to take. Again, I know that Carly's in D.C. I know that, again, her mom is familiar with, you know, national congressmen and stuff like that. It's a different ball game when you're trying to do something nationally, and I don't know exactly all the steps that are involved with that. But
it's not out of the woods.
No, it's absolutely not out of the woods. And again, I think the big thing with that is that would be something that would have to, again, take a lot of planning and be willing, and something that people are really willing to work for. I think that would be great. And I think that you would have a lot of support from former members, and you'd have a lot of support across the country from other councils, other groups that have helped to pass similar disability history and awareness legislation in their own states, and bringing them together and showing that, again, here are 20 states that have similar legislation would be powerful.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. One last question for you, Alex. What is your hopes for the future for the Florida Youth Council?
So my hope really comes down to the people like you, Alex, and you, Dakota. It's about the next generation seeing that they can be leaders and have a leadership role, not only in their own lives and their own community, but also on a state level. And again, as you're talking about it right now, Dakota's talking about on a national level. I mean, what I always went back to, and what the council was founded on, was empowering youth with disabilities in their own communities. And that's what I see in you guys. That's what I see in the other members that I met with that, you know, that I never really worked with, you know, when I came down and helped you and did led the training earlier this year. It's amazing to me to see that how you guys continue to grow and continue to work. And this is something that the work that we did, it doesn't go away. I've seen what you guys are continuing to do. I saw a lot of information about the annual youth summit and all that went on with that, and I was following it on Facebook and seeing everybody, all the different tweets or all the different messages, and Twitter as well, seeing all the different tweets about it. Like, there is, it's amazing to me that they see what I helped to start. And I say again, I played my small part within that, and seeing how that has grown. And it's just, I just hope that you guys know that I'm proud of you guys, and I'm proud of the entire council, that you guys have taken up the mantle that myself and other members have passed on to the next group of people.
Right, well, and I've already started, like, even though, like you said, passing on the mantle to the next generation of youth council members, Alexander can actually tell you himself that I have, with my podcast, which he highly suggests people listen to, that I have offered a new member a role as a co-host just so that she could have some type of, like, you know,
you're helping to mentor her along, to give her a leadership role in what the council's doing.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And that's something that you helped us pass that down to us, and we want to make sure that the legacy and your legacy and what Carly and everybody before us can actually keep passed down to the new generation. So once we age out, that's why this is vital information that they could pass on to more. And I think just going by the word of mouth, it could make a difference in people's lives. So because not everybody has a happy beginning, but one thing we can make sure is that from the times that they learn from our story and other people's story, we can actually build a more cohesive and positive narrative for the disability community and help people along the way that with all the struggles that have been going on, we can actually still help each other and lend a helping hand to anybody who might be different from us, who might feel the same as us. But that's just being a part of what a human being is to help each other and also help the community out.
That's very well put, Alex. And I'm glad to hear, you know, Dakota, that you're doing that, that you are, again, helping new members to grow themselves. I'm glad to hear that tradition, that value has continued to flow through from us to you guys and then on to the next generation going after you guys. So thank you, guys.
No problem. Well, guys, that's the end of today's episode. I want to give a big thank you to Alex Brown and Dakota for being a part of this episode. This is a very special episode because we wanted to make sure we keep you guys informed about what's going on for the disability community. And we wanted to do an episode like this because this is very essential to anybody who has been not just listening to us, but not just been going to the events like the summit or cafe, but everybody around here in the state, and also hopefully more people from across the country can listen to us, because this is so important, at least for me, at least for Dakota, and for anybody else out there. I just want to say thank you guys for being a part of it. I hope some people will actually get something out of this. It's very important to the council. It's very important to me. It's very important to Dakota. It's definitely very important to you, Alex. So I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm glad that I could represent myself and the other council members. Thanks.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Make sure you follow us on YouTube. We do have a YouTube channel. And make sure you follow us on Discord. We do have a Discord page to keep you guys informed. And also make sure you communicate with us, with the FYC and other members like myself and Dakota. Thank you guys so much.
Before we end this, make sure you also follow our podcast on whatever you're listening to it on, may it be Google or Apple.
Yeah, make sure you fave the podcast. If you're new to the podcast, make sure you favorite it. Make sure you share this to your friends and family, anybody. And also, hopefully you guys can make a difference on your own too. Thank you guys. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you guys in the next episode.